B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Competitively, don't you, like, when I left America's Got Talent, I had wished that the show gone off the air. Whenever I leave a radio station, I'm like, you guys, I hope you all die. You do not, what kind of season do you hope for New England, if there is even a season?
I have a lot of friends there, so I want them to do great.
You want them to win the Super Bowl against you?
Well, no, I want my team to win the Super Bowl. So how well do you want
New England to do? I don't understand this. I mean, to me, I think you should unfriend Bob Kraft on Facebook. I really do.
Wouldn't it be great to beat New England? Come on.
Yeah, come on. You want to beat New England now. Can you imagine Tom Brady in the Super Bowl again? You're at Tampa and New England is the other team you're against.
I want to beat anybody I play. I want to beat anybody. So I don't. I now play for a different team that has its own. I want to beat whoever we play. Whoever they're playing is irrelevant to me. So they could do great, and they will do great. They got a great team. They got great process. They got great coaches. They got so many great players.
But that's the best ticket, Tom. The best ticket is you against New England.
Yeah, I like that one.
So there's that exchange. And this I'm not going to get on Brady at all for, because who the hell would say this after leaving a team? But in his heart of hearts, Murray, Maz, do you think he wants the Patriots to do well or not?
No. Not at all. And just quickly, I got to say, because that I liked just as a former big fan of Stern, because that was a rare glimpse of the real angry Howard Stern, who's fueled by pettiness and who I grew up a giant fan of. And now he's just soft and kisses the ass of every celebrity like Ellen DeGeneres. So it's good to know that he still wants others to fail, because that's how I grew up. Like, this is one of the reasons I was a fan of that guy growing up. Like, you leave, and especially if it goes sideways like it did between Brady and Belichick and the Patriots. Yeah, you leave and you say, I want the worst for them. I hope they go 5-11, 4-12, and they suck forever, because I was the real reason that we had all that success over the last 20 years.
Oh, totally. I mean, that's exactly deep down. And that's what he felt initially, right, when he left. Like you said, he's cooled down, so he can be rational about it. He can be logical. But what he really wanted to say is, how do I hope the Patriots do? I hope they go 3-13 and Belichick gets his ass fired and then realizes that I carried his ass to six titles, you know, 9 trips to the game. Like, you know, that part of him wants to say that. Part of him. Because, again, it would only be natural and human. Now, again, he's in some way too smart for his own good.
Well, he doesn't want to admit that human part, though. And I don't blame him. Like, who would do that? You know, who would switch teams? I mean, some guys would, you know. But, I mean, certainly not the Joe quarterback. The Brady type is not going to do that. Yeah. So I don't expect him to say, I hope the Patriots go 3-13, but he hopes they go 3-13. No mistake.
Of course he does. But given his polished image, it would hurt the polished image if he were to actually give the truth there.
So let's get to the Giselle issue. How about we do it with Jim and Quincy? Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, you guys have been talking about, why was it time? It was time because Giselle said it was time. I mean, I think that's where it all comes down to. I mean, he knows Bill. He's known Bill his whole football career. He knows how football works, and I think he would have stayed. They would have made some sort of deal. But Giselle, 2 years ago, OTAs, you're not going to OTAs, Tom. It's time to go. I'm leaving, or you're leaving with me, one or the other. That's, I think, was an ultimatum by Giselle.
Okay. I don't totally agree with that, but she was a factor, Murray, and you agree.
Oh, big time. I like I said to start the show, the one thing I took out of this is I feel so vindicated for everything that I said. And we had fun with it at the time, like why Brady's showing up super early to Gillette Stadium and even stadiums on the road, and he's sitting there by himself on the bench just wanting silence, because at home it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Why do you keep doing this and putting up with their crap? Stop the game. And I feel like we're growing apart, like, oh my God, just shut up. So it was that. And, you know, people want to mock us for talking about the tabloids like we did months ago, but they were right about the marriage problems. They were real problems. And Brady admitted that today, that he and Giselle have had issues. And 2 years ago, she left him a letter. Oh, Jesus. Boy. A letter. I left you something. Can't we just talk? Like, no, I know what you did. Read the letter, and then we'll discuss the letter. Like, oh my God. I'll be right back. I'm going to throw myself down the stairs, and hopefully my neck breaks so I don't have to deal with this. So she leaves him the letter that tells him, get your crap together. And so, you know, like most husbands will, happy wife, happy life. He did, but she was definitely a factor here.
So go ahead, Mike.
No, you go.
So look, with regard to Giselle, here's how I reconciled it. Because I heard part of this and I said, there's some truth there. I mean, did she get frustrated? But of course, they're married. Yes. And I think that this part of the story endears Brady to the Oprah Winfreys of the world, and that they can then open themselves up to a whole different world. And G and Brady can sit there and talk to Oprah, or Ellen, or whoever about what it's like to be a super couple. And, well, we're really not any different than you. We have our differences. We went to therapy. She wrote me a letter. We worked through it. So you can, too, because these are problems that every couple faces in a marriage or in a relationship. But it's a cop-out. It's a cop-out. And here's why it's a cop-out. He was on a boat in the Mediterranean throwing passes to the Sultan of Brunei or whoever the hell it was. I don't even remember who it was. And what it is, again, he would rather show his humanity with Giselle because it makes him endearing than to say, no, frankly, the team was busting my balls over my contract, and I was petty about it, so I wasn't going to go. They wouldn't give me what I wanted, so why should I give them what they wanted? Which was the real issue, the real reason he didn't go to OTAs.
Thank you. Way down the list, caller. I mean, you know, I think she's tugging him away from the game, and I don't think she liked New England. So those tugs were definitely there, okay? And she probably thinks she'll be happier in Tampa than Boston because it's warmer. Prance around in a bikini or whatever. Maybe she just equates that or what she grew up with or whatever. Okay? And so she might think she'll be happier there. But really what she wants is I doubt she wants him playing the game. You know, and I think she's pretty much admitted that. He's pretty much admitted that. So I think she's tugging him away from the game. I don't think she necessarily tugged him away from New England. Probably didn't help. But if they had given him the contract, he would have been here. If they had given him the contract at any point in the last 2 to 3 years, he'd still be here, well, no matter how she felt or what kind of letter she left him. So to singularly blame her, I think, is missing the mark. I'm sorry. I do. We continue with your wonderful thoughts here with John in Connecticut. John, you're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi, John.
Gentlemen, how are you? Thank you for getting us through this crazy time. Hey, Maz, I was listening to all the stuff you guys are talking about, and I think about athletes that when they leave, such as Cam, who was basically telling people, I didn't want this, and nobody's giving him any wrath. But here's Brady walking out on the classy side of the things by not ripping anybody, yet he's starting to get ripped. It's amazing when a player leaves a city who has done everything he could possibly do for a city. He hasn't even put the towels in his new house at Jeter's place yet, and now he's starting to get ripped by people. He's doing what he has to do for, you know, in a year or two, football's over, he has to live his life with his family. So, you know, what's so wrong with stuff like that? As far as going to that Belichick side of it, there's no doubt in anybody's mind he's going to crap the bed in the way. Hey, look at their schedule next year. They're not winning 6 games next year. He deserves to get everything bad that comes his way, because there's one thing I read this morning. If you look at every single record that Brady has set in the NFL, there's only one that he's not in the top 10 in. He has never been in the top 10 in the NFL in salary. Is that insane or what? Thank you, gentlemen. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, John. We'll see what Belichick. We'll see what he's got with the next guy. I'm fascinated, looking forward to it. Re-energized as a Patriots follower to see Bill Belichick try and win with another quarterback. So we'll see if you're right on that point or not. The other thing about, so what's wrong with Brady trying to be diplomatic? I mean, there isn't. And I started off, I don't know if you were listening in the first hour, his dodging and his less than genuine responses today, I think, come from a good place or a diplomatic place. He doesn't want to dump on Belichick. He doesn't want to fuel that fire. He doesn't want to dump on the Patriots on the way out the door. And that's, generally speaking, coming from a good place. But I just think it's important to point out that they're not genuine comments, and they don't really reflect what happened here. And that's all. I mean, it's our job to tell you what we think of what was said today, and that's what I think of what was said today. I think it's a whitewashing of what really went on.
Definitely. It looked at this attempt by Brady has been, or this campaign by Brady, that part of it, has been going on for some time. And if you remember when some of the first stories were written, and I'm just going talking about this season, let alone 2 years ago, I think Curran had one at one point that said something to the effect of, maybe this is just going to be an amicable breakup. And I looked at that and said, no, that's how they want to spin it. But it's impossible to be an amicable breakup, because it means the relationship isn't working anymore. And so now there are degrees of hostility. It can be really acrimonious and really nasty, or it can be cordial. And on the grand scale, do I think this was reasonably cordial relative to the other extreme? Sure, yes, I do. But look, Tom was frustrated here at the end. That's why he wanted out. He was frustrated with Bill. He was frustrated they didn't want to give him a contract, not necessarily in that order. And so he said, that's it, I'm done with it.
And they were frustrated with each other.
Sure.
The team was frustrated with him. And I think, you know, if I'm going to critique Brady today or, you know, at any point, it's okay to say that and not dump on the team. Like, there is a way to do that, and it's not that hard. But to be a little more human, you know, and to acknowledge the differences of opinion and where you had grown each and that it was time to move on because of those things. He just wanted to say, oh, it's magic. It's just time to move on magically because it just is. As opposed to the underlying reasons, which you could make the case are no one's fault. It could be no one's fault that Brady wanted a bigger contract and a bigger commitment, and the Pats didn't want to do it because you don't do that to 43-year-old players. Each have a case. But Brady didn't even want to go there. He just said, nope, we all decided this was what was best for everyone, and we were all good with it, which I just don't think is true. I don't think everyone was good with it. Tommy in Brighton. Go ahead, Tommy. What are your thoughts?
No, Brady's not telling you the truth, and I'll explain to you why. So he says, I didn't go to the OTAs because I wanted to be home with my family. I'm a big family man, right? So the family man, who's what a wonderful guy, Maz, right? Family man. He moves to Tampa, uproots his family, takes his kids out of school, away from the only friends they've ever known. He moves his family far away. He's going to go to the OTAs now to energize himself. What a bunch of crap. He is not the guy that he's trying to portray himself to be. If he was a family man, he would have retired. He's rich. He's famous. He could take his kids to school every day. He didn't need to go to Tampa. He could have retired, go on TV. So to spin that story, to try to say I didn't go to the OTAs because I'm a family man, is nonsense. It doesn't add up.
It's so true. Did Howard even ask him that today? Because I didn't. In the hour I listened to, I didn't hear him ask about the OTAs. So
no, that's too in depth. You know, that's not a question I think you're going to get out of him. Okay. I wasn't surprised by that.
But the caller makes a great point too. If this is something Giselle said a couple of years ago, then in theory he shouldn't be going to the OTAs with Tampa either. And yet he had given every indication that he was going. Now they're not going to have them. I get that, but you know he clearly made it a point to let everyone know that he was intending to go to OTAs.
Yeah, she was a factor, but that it's an easy excuse. And I like what Maz said, too, in that, you know, this is now an easy, polished way for them to present themselves to the Oprahs and Ellens and their audiences to say, well, look at us. We were able to work through our problems. And those audiences love that crap.
Oh, and Howard's become a little bit of that crowd.
Oh,
right?
Totally.
I mean, he is, you know, but the caller's 1,000% right. 1,000% right about the family. What bullcrap with the OTA excuse. You understand that for most of those OTAs, Brady was here and he was at his house in Chestnut Hill. And instead of just going to Foxborough and practicing with the team, he would, you know, throw passes in the backyard or at Pine Mattress.
Right.
Or, you know, he'd go to the TB12 Center in the parking lot but not go inside the stadium. You know, what? Because, and again, those OTAs are not full days. You're not spending 14 hours a day at the stadium. It's like
3 hours or something.
You go for the morning and then you come back. So wait a minute. So Brady, who was in Chestnut Hill at the time of the OTAs, couldn't leave the house at 8 and be back by noon for lunch and claim that he wasn't with his... Like, what nonsense. What bullcrap to say that it was family time and that he had to be with his family versus going to the OTAs. But again, that's a different... day. I don't think that came up today, but boy, that caller's right on that. Let's pick this up on the other side. More Brady Howard stuff. I had there was a funny exchange I thought about his house, the house that he's renting in Tampa, and it was an exchange that made me go, oh God, oh goodness, he's not going to like it there, and he's going to realize, if he hasn't realized already, that maybe Chestnut Hill wasn't so bad. We'll pick that up right after this.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The thing I heard about Jeter's place, which is great, he got special permission to build super high walls so no one can get to you? Because I got to figure the fans down there are driving you up a wall. I mean, you know, literally. So Jeter has super high walls and no one can see you, right? It's almost like Osama bin Laden's compound.
Not quite. Not quite. That's a, you know, where I lived in Chestnut Hill, I was pretty private for a long time. So I forgot, you know, in a way, like people could drive up to your house because you couldn't quite drive up to my house where I lived in Chestnut Hill. But here, man, they could pull right up and to the back of the house. So Derek did a pretty good job of screening it. And I think I'm a little bit of a introvert. I feel like my house is kind of the place where I can relax. And, you know, when you walk outside the house, you understand everything that goes along with being me. And, you know, and I think part of it is when I come home, I want to feel like I can, you know, let my guard down and relax. But this is a little different because when you go out to the backyard, there's a lot of boats that have pulled up and people out the front. But
how does it work,
it's
Tom,
just,
though?
It's a little different.
Let's say something. Let's say the washing machine breaks. Does Jeter have to come over and fix it because you're paying him?
I call and I bitch to him and he gets it fixed.
So I chuckled at that, calling up the landlord to bitch about the washing machine. But that first piece, and we're showing the video right there on NBC Sports Boston, Brady's going to realize freaking Chestnut Hill where he lived. Cool, quaint, classy little place, and you had more privacy than, you know, you realize, pal. You know, I used to, for a year I lived at this Avalon apartment complex in Chestnut Hill, just recently because we were redoing our house here, and so I would go on these jogs, and I ran by Brady's place pretty much every day. I would jog by it, and so I know exactly where it is. A lot of people did. And it was behind a gate and a big long driveway, and you couldn't even see the house from the road, right next again to Pine Manor. And it was actually, to be so close to the city, he had excellent privacy. And there was never, every once in a while, there'd be a Channel 7 TV van out there because, you know, covering one thing or the other, Deflategate, I can't remember, you know, what was going on at the time. But it wasn't like fans were lined up there. It wasn't like there were people pulling up to the house. And he was, you know, again, the house was way set back from the street. And he goes to Tampa, and we just showed the video. The way it works in Florida is all these houses are built right to the lot line, right? They pretty much chew up whatever land they have with the house itself, and there's no space in front. The back opens up on that water, but all, you know, Bubba has to do is pull up on the boat, the pontoon boat, and there he's right in the Brady's backyard. And Brady's like, oh, well, cars are pulling up to the front of the house right there on the street where my door is right next to. And then I go in the backyard, and there's Bubba the Love Sponge in his freaking pontoon boat. And it's like, I think he's going to realize in short order that's the way it goes in Tampa, Tom. It's freaking cheesy down there, man. Even in Jeter's house, you're going to have to wade through the cheese down in Tampa. And it wasn't like that in Chestnut Hill. They're going to realize that if they haven't realized it already.
Yeah, but
well,
for one, I mean, I don't think Bucks fans, even if they're getting the greatest quarterback of all time towards the end of his career, are going to care as much as the psychos up here. And I mean that lovingly, because it's one of the great things about being a sports fan here and being able to talk about it. People care so much. I don't think people are going to be up his caboose as much as they would be here. The other thing, you just hire security. It's a palatial estate. It's not like he's going to be paranoid, like, oh my God, people see what I'm doing. Like, he's still going to have his privacy there, and you just hire extra security to have it on both sides.
If I were Brady, I'd be worried about the people on the boats. That's what I'd be worried about. Because the fact is that some of those, you know, those houses down there, and I'm even reluctant to call them houses, but at least those are people who are, you know, affluent and of your ilk. If you're Tom Brady, how about Murray and his pals showing up in Tampa and renting a boat going, yeah, this is Brady's house.
Hell
Let's
yeah.
Let's go to the backyard.
No doubt about that. And again, look at that. Murray, you can hire security, but what are you going to hire, like, marine security for a guy to sit out in a boat in front of your house shooing people away? I don't think it works like that. That's a public waterway. You're not really allowed to do that.
Yeah, or you put up, so in Lake Winnipesaukee, like I go up every single summer and my buddy's got a boat up there. We do this, like Maz just said, like, yeah, that's where Axel used to live. That's now where Triple H lives. Like, there's a bunch of houses on Lake Winnipesaukee like that, and you can't really get that close. You can see it, but you can't, like, see what's going on in the house.
Yeah, Marty, we're going to do a booze cruise and we're going to Brady's.
I'm just telling you, Florida is cheesy, man, and it's hard to fully get away from the cheese. And I don't know if Giselle and Brady really realize, you know, what they're leaving and what they're going to. And just the way that house, the pictures of that house crammed onto that, it's a massive lot. I'm not telling you it's a little lot, but the house is still crammed onto that lot. And that's just the way they do it in Florida because it's freaking cheese, man. No one even no one has any sense of sort of the land or the lay of the land, or it's not. It's just a big McMansion. We're going to bang it out and build it to the very nth degree we can on the lot. And it's just, I don't know. I look at that, as beautiful as that looks and as expensive as it is and as well built as I'm sure that it is, there's a level of cheese there that I can even just pick up on that video. I am sorry.
Cheese balls, man. Oh, the whole city is one big cheese ball.
So we continue with your reaction. Or how about this? Here, I want to play another cut. This is, part of it, as much as I enjoy Howard Stern and I thought the questions were pretty much right on with that, he's not a sports fan. And so he's coming from a place where he doesn't, you know as much as we do. He starts off, and this question is about Belichick's loyalty to him. And he talks about rumors of another quarterback a couple of years ago. I think he just sort of had that confused with Garoppolo being here and like that whole story. So I'm pretty sure that's what he was referring to, unless there was something else that I don't know. But I thought this was a good exchange as well. Jimmy, number four, please.
There were rumors 2 years ago that Belichick was thinking about bringing in a new QB, you know. And sometimes I think with him, he also wants to prove that he could create a great team without Tom Brady. Like, he has the opposite thing going on, right?
Sure.
Did that influence your decision, though, when you heard that rumor? Did you say, you know, this guy, I am giving my life to this team. I've won everything they've wanted to win. You know what I mean? Where's his loyalty? Did that influence your decision?
I think he has a lot of loyalty. And I think he and I have had a lot of conversations that nobody's ever been privy to. And nor should they be, that so many wrong assumptions were made about our relationship or about how he felt about me. I know genuinely how he feels about me. Now, I'm not going to respond to every rumor or assumption that's made, other than what his responsibility as coach is to try to get the best player for the team, not only in the short term, but in the long term as well. So what I could control was trying to be the best I could be in both of those situations also. So I got into uncharted territory as an athlete because I started to break the mold of what, you know, so many other athletes had experienced. So I got to a point where I was old. I was an older athlete, and he started to plan for the future, which is right. What his responsibility is. And I don't fault him for that. I mean, that's what he should be doing. That's what every coach should be doing. Not that I would ever coach, but, you know, if I'm ever in a position of authority, I would understand that too.
What was your thought process, though?
Like, we talked about it.
Okay, so again, diplomatic and fair-ish, but no, Brady feels he has more to give, and Bill didn't think that he did at the number that he wanted. So, like, Brady says, hey, it's totally normal for him to want to look to the future because I'm an older quarterback and I'm doing what no one else has done. So, hey, it's all good. Everybody, we all understand each other. When the truth is, Brady still thinks he's playing at a high level, and Bill doesn't. And Bill doesn't want to commit to that. And he doesn't feel good about that. Otherwise, why is he freaking looking out the water at Bubba the Love Sponge on his pontoon boat in Tampa? Like, come on. Like, it's not really the whole story. It's not really his true feelings. It's a diplomatic way around what's really going on there.
Look, Tom's father is the one that told us that this would end badly. Okay, Tom's father told us that Tom was going to want to continue playing until he was 70, and Bill was going to cast him aside just like he did everybody else because he would be of no use to him anymore, or he was ready to turn the page. It's like these ideas we have, and I was going to say preconceptions, but these ideas that we have of the way it was going to be at the end, a lot of them came from Brady's DNA.
Well, no, like, they came from Brady's father. They came from
right. That's what I mean.
He he's sort of right. Okay, so he's sort of Brady's pushing this narrative of not everybody knows what was going on there, and there's a lot of misconceptions out there. Those were created by your camp. Where do you think those report? Wickersham, Curran, Schefter, Darlington, there's, you know, Karen Garishian, there's been a lot of reporting from Brady's side about how he feels. That's all turned out to be true. Tom, where do you think that came from? So this is, again, like this is a case of what happened with Jim Gray every week, where he gets to play the good guy and gets to downplay everything and say, no, 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 it's not about that. But the whole thing came up in the first place because his people are telling others what the heck's going on there, Maz.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the part is nobody's privy to it. Well, okay, Tom, nobody's privy to it. Your father is the one who said it would end badly. Your father said that. And, you know, and I can guess what Brady's answer would have been. It would have been something like, yeah, I wish my dad hadn't have said that, you know. But the reason he wished he wouldn't have said it is because it's true.
Okay.
So, I just think that, you know, again, he wants to make it look all perfect because that's sort of the image he wants to maintain and keep. And I get it. I will never be able to understand what his life is like on a day-to-day basis. Okay, so I get that part of it. I just don't believe all the bullcrap. I don't.
More of your reaction after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports, Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
But Tom, isn't there some resentment on your part that he didn't make you a patriot for life? In other words...
No, absolutely not. No, because this is a part for me in my life to experience something very different. And, you know, there's things, there's ways for me to grow and evolve in a different way that I haven't had the opportunity to do. That aren't right or wrong, that's just right for me.
Again, Tom Brady from today. We continue with your reaction. Tim in Quincy, you're up next on Felger Maz. Hi, Tim.
Yeah, how you guys doing? Maz, what do you say all the time that Belichick's a great coach, but kills himself as a general manager? If Brady was honest, he would say, Belichick in the last couple of years has not developed a functional offense. No tight end. The last two draft picks have been bust, and he hasn't brought in any weapons.
I'm just going to cut you off there because your phone's not good enough. I don't expect him to get into specifics. You know, I'm not criticizing Brady for, you know, not giving me that. I don't expect him to give me that. I just don't think it's very genuine for him to say, it was just time and we all agreed and it was a perfect ending. I just don't agree with that storyline. But I don't expect him to sit here and say, yeah, he gave me a bunch of crap last year. Like, he's not going to do that.
We know too much then to just believe that this was some sort of, like, you know, Brady deciding that it was time for a new challenge. I mean, we know too much.
Mary in Manchester. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. Hi, guys. So my takeaway from the Stern interview was that I was in complete denial last year because you guys had been talking about it pretty much all season, that this was, you know, the writing was on the wall, that this was his last season. And now Brady essentially admitted to that. But what I think is really sad is the fans didn't get the opportunity to say goodbye to Brady. And I'm not saying that he desired that or wanted that, but we wanted that. And you touched on it a little bit last year at the end of the season where, you know, we talked about, are we going to have an opportunity to sort of have that organic goodbye where they're chanting his names in the stand or something like that they did for Drew Brees? And now we will never have that opportunity. It's going to be probably orchestrated by Kraft sometime in the future. But, you know, I think that's kind of sad. I mean, and he kind of knew the whole time this was probably his last season. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree, Mary. I thought, you know, it did hit home. I can't remember. What was the Brees thing? He set a record one night? And it was
touchdown passes, yep.
And he did like a victory lap, and like it was just a Drew
they stopped
Brees,
the game, yeah.
Yeah, Brees moment. And it was his night, and it was on Monday Night Football or one of those. And, you know, Brady didn't even have half of that He threw a pick six at the end of a playoff game and sort of put his head down and slumped off the field, and that was it. And that, you know, not exactly storybook.
No, I'll tell you, though, on some level, see, I give him credit for this, and I'll tell you why I give him credit for it, because the only way we would have known to give him a farewell is if he had made this about his final year in New England. And so it would have required him saying, yep, this is it. I'm out of here at the end of the year. Let everybody know it. Then it becomes this massive distraction. It further undermines the team. Not that he didn't do that to some degree anyway, but then it just, it's hovering there the whole time. And I think in some ways it would have been selfish. So I give him credit for not doing it that way. And I get it. I mean, there's no question. He's a once-in-a-lifetime type of talent. Tampa Bay is in here next year, so there will be a moment there. It just might not be when we wanted it.
Okay, coming up next, more on the Giselle factor with Brady and Howard Stern right after this.
Dugger Fast. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Belger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Did you go to like a family therapist to hear what she's saying? Because, you know, guys are the worst to hear. Did you?
So.
Yeah, we went to a marriage therapist.
She actually wrote me a letter, and it was a very thought out letter that, you know, she wrote it to me, and I still have it. And, you know, I keep it in a drawer, and I read it, you know, and it's a very heartfelt letter for her to say, this is where I'm at in our marriage. And, you know, it's a good reminder for me that things are going to change and evolve over time. What happened and what worked for us 10 years ago won't work for us forever, you know, because we're growing in different ways. And, you know, I'm influenced by different people and situations. So is she. We're not together all the time. Then when you come back together, you know, she may have moved on an opinion or a feeling or a thought. I may have moved on an opinion or feeling or thought. And then how do you figure out a way to get it together? But, you know, for me, a healthy marriage wasn't what always worked for me. It was really, and it shouldn't be what always works for her. So even, you know, there's family decisions that are made. And I think for men, most men want to focus on their career. And it's very easy for men to focus on their career.
Again, Brady and Howard Stern today on Sirius XM Radio. Big Jim Murray, you had a thought on the whole Giselle factor.
Yeah, this whole part, while listening to it this morning, it was like, oh boy. I was hoping we would get some of this juicy stuff, and we did, but boy, So he reveals Giselle not happy with how much attention he's given football, the business deals, she's left taking care of the children. Like, this, you know, we've talked about this for years now. I go back to a couple of years ago. We had fun with it at the time. He's showing up hours early to Gillette Stadium, way before the game starts, and other stadiums when they're on the road too, just so he could have some silence and get the hell away from her. That's what I thought it was then. I think this part of the interview confirmed that. But it reaches the tipping point where Super G writes him a letter. They live in the same house. Everything's, you know, got a little bit rocky there, but she had to write him a letter where she sees the flaws in their relationship. They end up going to therapy, but the letter, and he still keeps the letter. He keeps the letter in a drawer.
Why?
Because, you know, so that was, I was like, you know, she asked him to keep the letter. He has to keep the letter. If our marriage is important, you will honor this letter. Like, all right, no, still have the letter. And that's, does he have to show it like it's identification papers to keep things on the up and up, to keep her happy? How are you feeling? Why are you sulking? No, still got the letter. See, still, I got the letter right here. Why are you watching all that film? Did you need to watch that film for your new team for 2 hours? Got the letter. Still, see, letter. The letter still honors you. Jesus, will you just stop? So that part, like, well, on the one end, and I'm with Maz, like, you know, it's kind of a marketing ploy that he and Giselle can now market themselves to Hampton's Howie and Oprah and Ellen and all these others that have, you know, have this, like, sensitive, softer audience and say, like, oh, see, we're the shining beacon of hope for couples. You know, we can work through our difficulties. We should write each other letters. That's, and we should be open to therapy. See, like, this helps market them both. as, you know, this beacon of a perfect couple that I think that they want to try to show that they are, even if it might not be real, because, you know, relationships can get difficult. But this is like, oh God, on the one end, it is a bit contrived, but on the other, like, it's real. He does have to deal with this crap. Like, he got that letter. He does have to keep it. And it's probably a lot of work.
I just find it interesting that he would be willing to share publicly that he and his wife have gone to marriage counseling and, you know, therapy, and yet he can't criticize his football coach.
Right. Like, there are no problems with him and Bill. None. Right? Right? It's a great point. You know, but I think this plays to, you know, they're sort of in that crowd, the Ellen, Oprah crowd, where I think you're exactly right. It's part of the whole spiel. It's all the self-help and the self-discovery and all of this. And so they'll discuss the marriage counseling and the marriage problems. He'll acknowledge that. But he didn't acknowledge one problem with Belichick today. And we're led to believe that?
Right.
Exactly. We're led to believe there was nothing with like, come on, Tom. Come on. It just wasn't – the football stuff was not genuine. He was more genuine on the marriage stuff than he was on the football stuff.
And look, and again, maybe it's the result of Giselle. Maybe it's her influence. Or maybe it's the fact that he grew up with sisters, right? And so there's a tremendous female influence in his household growing up. But this does also give you some look into Brady's, quote-unquote, sensitive side, right? And this may have been an issue, too, with Bill, in that Brady wants to be able to talk about his feelings. And he wants to talk about them with Giselle. But with Bill, no shot, pal. Like, Bill couldn't care what your feelings are. He's got a football game, a football team to coach and a game to play on Sunday.
Right. If Linda wrote Bill a letter, he'd crumple it up and throw it right back at her. Come on.
But it's as simple as that. And that's where I think the Brady's end of the interview today came up short. Brady's end. Where it just wasn't genuine. It wasn't complete. And I don't expect complete honesty. Like, I don't expect him to share details. But there wasn't acknowledgement of the obvious problems, which he was willing to do with the marriage, which is, you know, interesting. You know, he's willing to say the differences, and we had to work through and the problems there. But nope, with the Patriots, it was just time, and we all agreed, and it was a wonderful ending. And I just find that part to be nonsense. I find that to be nonsense.
And, you know, it does tell you on some level, like his willingness to talk about Giselle again, I think it endears him to that whole world and crowd. And I'm not telling you it was totally a marketing ploy. I think it's, you know, they've decided we are going to be open about our feelings and we're going to share them. And, you know, if Giselle didn't want him talking about it, he wouldn't be talking about it. So I think that, you know, that is part of it. But I mean, you sit there and you say, holy mackerel, he'll say that. It tells me he trusts Giselle more than he trusted Belichick, because certainly they've talked about it. He's willing to publicly disclose what their sort of inner issues are. But with Bill, no. Do not go there.
Or he's more afraid of Giselle than he was Bill.
Well, there's that too, Murray.
Okay, your calls as promised. Todd in Denver. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, this is to Felger and Maz. If the Patriots play the Buccaneers in Super Bowl 55 in Tampa, who are you rooting for? I already know Big Jim Murray's answer. It's the same as mine, the Buccaneers. I'm with Tom Brady for the first Super Bowl. Then I'm going back to the Patriots.
Okay, baby. Patriots, Patriots, 1,000-time Patriots. I'm going to root for the Patriots more now than I ever have, in fact, frankly. Or maybe not more than ever. But, no, Brady versus the Patriots in the Super Bowl? Patriots.
Bucks.
A million times over. But I want them both to do well up until then. I mean, I'm really rooting for both all the way through, because I think the better both do, the better the story it is for longer. And so I want both to win every game until they face each other, and then it's the Patriots.
So what I want, I root for overtime. Patriots win the toss, and Bill elects to kick. That's what I want.
Richie in Maine. Go ahead, Richie.
Hey, guys. Great show. Thanks for doing it. I have to, though, totally disagree with your perspective on the interview. I listened to it. I'm a huge Stern fan. I listened to it all 2 hours. And I thought he was as open and candid, as way more than he's ever been. He gave more information to Patriots fans today than he did in his 20 years with the team. He was so open and so, again, did he let you know everything? Absolutely not. But it was as candid as he could possibly be. And Howard pressed him 3 or 4 times. He was supposed to be on Howard's show all throughout his career at New England. He kept saying, did the Patriots hold you back? And Tom wouldn't throw them under the bus. I think that's because he has designs when his career is over. He'll be in that owner's box for Kraft.
Okay, Richie, thanks for the call. Yes, was it more open and candid than usual? Yes, but that's a pretty low bar. I mean, Brady almost never gives anything. So today he gave maybe a little something, but even then, I was frankly expecting more. And again, I'll just give you the – you raised the thing with the marriage. It's a great point. He acknowledged problems in his marriage, but he wouldn't say that there was any problems with him and Bill and no resentment and none of those sort of human emotions that you go through in any long-term relationship. He wouldn't go there. So I think it was less than candid, way less than open, way less than fully genuine on the football stuff. But was it more than he usually gives? Yes, but low bar. That's really not saying anything, though, is it?
No, because he mastered, he was the master of saying nothing for 20 years. And again, I'm not criticizing him for it. He was, great at really guarding his emotions and his feelings and his mood up until the end anyway.
Dan and Gardner, you're up next. Hi, Dan.
Hi. I think all these discussions about Belichick always comes down to Belichick as coach and Belichick as GM. And Brady, you're ripping him, but, Belichick as a coach, in the locker room, on the field, the field general, working with all the guys.
Oops. This is my fault. Again, I just hit the wrong button on that thing. So I'm not sure exactly what the full point was. Belichick has had ups and downs as a GM like everybody. It's harder to be a good GM than a good coach. I'll just say it like that. And so that's not why Brady's gone. I'm sure Brady didn't like the talent around him at the end and certainly didn't like some of the receivers he was given at the end. But if they had given him a 3-year contract extension 2 years ago, he'd still be here, no matter whether Bill hit on his draft picks or didn't hit on his draft picks. He's not here because they wouldn't commit to him, and they wouldn't commit to him for a long period of time. And if they had committed to him, he'd still be there, and you know it. And again, that was another thing that was not acknowledged today. So why, again, I'm feeling just a little, I was left more than a little short today. Not by Howard. I think he, for the most part, went there. I think Brady, as usual, did not. Not a surprise, but still a little disappointing. But we continue with your reaction to Brady's interview today, and really the comment that's generating the most talk, and that I do think was genuine, maybe the most genuine thing that he said, and the most honest thing that he said, and that was, when did he know it was finally over? And we'll get to that answer and your response to it after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.